amazingly enough, it's week two with new eyes. Well, same old eyes, just less a cataract, less a big, nasty cataract. And I can see beautifully, and there are colors, and there's just all kinds of stuff. But you know what? I had this weird dream last night. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the chief geek here. I'm the guy that started this whole thing 30 years ago. Are you believing that? We've been talking about gardening sometimes more than 30 years. We're heading on 33 years of doing this, which is, in my mind, absolutely amazing. Just absolutely amazing. But anyway, I had this weird dream last night. You know, I had cataract surgery almost 2 weeks ago. Well, wait a minute. It was 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago yesterday. I had cataract surgery. Something I was terrified to do because, you know, I found out I was going to be awake through it, right? And I, what? And I said, don't worry. You'll be fine. And I said, no, I won't. You're going to come up and say, no, you can't do this. They said, trust me, you'll be fine. I go in to have the surgery done. And, I meet the anesthesiologist. I said, tell me that you're going to pour a 5-gallon drum of something into me that's going to make me go nighty-night while this whole thing's going on. And he said, no. He said, you're going to be wide awake through the whole thing. I said, he said, but listen. He says, trust me when I tell you, you are not going to care what they're doing. You're going to see everything that's going on, and you are not going to care. I said, I'm going to care. He says, I promise you, you're not going to care. It's just going to be, you're going to be just so fine and so relaxed and just, you know, it'll be fine. And the surgery takes 5 minutes, so don't worry about it. You're going to be great. Man, was he right. He was so right. But anyway, last night, getting back to what I started to talk about, am I meandering? Sounds like the Sleep With Me podcast guy. Anyway, I almost meandered off to somewhere else. Last night, I go to bed and I have this dream. I've been putting these drops in my eye, constantly and all this. And last night, I had a dream. I dreamt that the lens that they put into my eye, when they do this, they put a lens in your eye and it makes your vision really nice. I dreamt that I woke up and the lens had fallen out and it was laying in my bed and I could not see out of that eye. I just could not see. And it was, it didn't happen. It did not happen. It was all a dream, but I was afraid to open my eyes. And then I woke up and I said, wait a minute, open your eyes. Everything's going to be fine. I opened my eyes and everything was dark. That's because it was the middle of the night, you idiot. Anyhow, so I turned on the light. Everything was fine. Everything was good. I got up. I looked in the mirror. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. And off I went. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about, I sometimes enjoy this conversation, sometimes not. And this conversation, I'm probably not going to enjoy because this is costing one of my clients a whole bunch of money. Just a whole bunch of money. I don't know. She is my client. She was my client today. I don't know if she'll ever be again because I didn't give her good news. I got a call from this woman's husband. She said, we have dead shrubs all the way around our house. Could you come out and tell us how the shrubs died? My wife thinks it's a disease. Please come out. I said, okay, this is what I charge. And it's a bunch. So I went out there today. I love a mystery. And I love a mystery now that I can see the mystery with my eyes. It's just really good. I go out there and sure enough, all the shrubs around the house were dead. I mean, they were DRT, which is dead right there. And then part of the grass that was next to the shrubs was also dead. So immediately, that was my phone. Let me shut my phone off so it doesn't do that anymore. Did I get a text? No, I got a YouTube alert or something. I don't know. But anyway, there. Pardon me, just dazzling around here. I don't edit. I just keep going. I should have shut that off before I started. Anyway, I said, it looks to me like a chemical burn is what it looked like to me. As I'm walking up, and the way I look at plants when there's a problem, and I've talked to you about this before, I start out at the street. I saw the problem out at the street, dead shrubs everywhere. I just started closing in on it, just slowly but surely closing in on it. And the closer I got, the more I saw everything was dead. And then I saw in the grass, and the grass is what really convinced me that it was a chemical burn, because you could almost see patterns, you know, like little globs here, little globs there, a foot, you know, out a foot from everything. And then there was a one patch in the lawn where there was a big, I'd say about a 16-inch circle that was dead. So I said, all right. So the lady and her husband come out, and they said, what do you think? I said, it's a chemical burn. They said, oh, no. We are 100% organic. No chemicals here. By golly, 100% organic. I said, well, what did you do? She says, I did a preventative pest control using a 100% organic product. I said, well, what was it? He goes, it's that diatomaceous earth stuff. What? Well, actually, she called it diatomaceous earth. I said, you mean diatomaceous earth? And she said, yeah, the diatomaceous earth. And I said, really? And I'm curious because I've never seen that happen with diatomaceous earth or diatomaceous earth ever. I said, where'd you get this stuff? She goes, oh, I still got a bunch of it. Come here, I'll show you. So off to the garage we go. I love it when I go to a homeowner's house and I'm trying to solve a problem. And I said, what did you use? And we go off to the garage and I can see how they store everything. And it's just, you know, which is in, you know, in my 40 plus years experience doing this kind of thing is always an adventure. And she pulled out two, they look like 5 gallon buckets. And one of them was open and the other one was not open. And it was not diatomaceous earth. It was 100% boric acid. I said, this is not diatomaceous earth. This is boric acid. She goes, well, I thought they were the same. I said, why did you think that? She goes, well, I thought it was the same. And, you know, they said it was 100% organic. And I put it on. And I said, okay. And I said, so what did you do? She goes, well, I took this green spreader, which they had a Scott's hand spreader. I've got four of them in my garage at least. And I've also, you know, have the Scott Whiz, which is the electric version of that, which is really cool. But anyway, she goes, I filled the thing up and I walked all around and I put it all over the plants. And she goes, and I left it there. She goes, I didn't water it in. I left it there. And she goes, and it didn't rain for 2 days. And then it rained like crazy. I said, okay. Did you put any out in the middle of the yard there? I see that spot out there. She goes, yeah, there was an anthill there. So I put a big clump of it there. I said, okay. So then I had to explain to her that boric acid is a salt and that salts kill plants. They don't kill plants. They kill the soil. And when you kill the soil, you kill the plants. And these poor people killed the soil and the shrubs were dead. She was wondering if I was going to be able to bring the shrubs back. No. I was not going to be able to bring the shrubs back. They are dead. I am not a miracle worker. Well, sometimes I am. But in this case, when the plant is dead, it's dead. It's dead, Jim. So I was very sorry. I then explained the difference between boric acid, which is a salt, and diatomaceous earth, which is a mineral, which are tiny little diatoms that live in salt and fresh water. The kind that we use on plants comes from fresh water. And, you know, it's very good, and it wouldn't harm anything. You could put the stuff out like crazy, and it won't harm anything. I've used tons of diatomaceous earth over the years. But boric acid is something that we put around in areas where there's, you know, inside a house, mostly. Like in the garage, if there's ants crawling around or roaches, or I have dusted my attic with it, you know, to kill the roaches up in my attic. Actually, I got a better version of boric acid in my attic. It's called Tap Insulation, which has boric acid included in it, which kills bugs. You know, so it's pretty cool stuff. Costs a little bit of money, but it was pretty cool stuff. You know, I put in new insulation. I bought the tap insulation and put that in there. But, you put boric acid in places like that. People buy the little bottles of it and poof some underneath the stove. And it's, you know, it's a natural, you know, salt. And salt kills the soil. So the solution, what is the solution? The solution is remove all of the dead plants because they're not coming back. And then the other thing you want to do is tie up the soil or tie up all of that salt, all of that boric acid in the soil. And that was a bit of a challenge. It used to be a lot easier. I said, I'm going to have to do some research. And what you want to do is you want to put activated charcoal in the area where you did this and water it in really, really good. But where do you get activated charcoal? They were going to need at least 50 pounds of activated charcoal to put around this thing. So I said, let me go home and, you know, go on that internet thing. And I finally found a place 55 miles away that sells it. It's not that terribly expensive. So I called them and told them about that. So they're making a trip tomorrow, and they're going down to buy it. And they're going to take that little green spreader and put it all around there. And it's going to be all nice and, you know, black. And they'll water it in. It'll all be black. It'll all go in. And it's going to help. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to help. And it's going to take a long time for anything to come back nicely. You're listening to Ask the Garden King. February 21st, and you know what I had to do today? Oh, hi everybody, welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Gross, and I am the geek. I'm the guy that started this whole thing 33 years ago, and I'm here to talk to you about gardening sometimes. Sometimes I talk about other stuff, but most of the time I'm trying really hard to talk more about gardening. And you know what I had to do today? On February 21st, I had to mow my yard again. You know how many, I've mowed my yard every week now. We had 1 2-week period in January where it was kind of chilly. And when I say chilly, we had, you know, days in the 60s. But it's been 80s. It's been 80s. All of February, it's just been warm. It's like it's summertime. I'm running my air conditioning right now. I am running the AC in my house. My central air conditioner is on. Otherwise, I could not sleep. I have the central air set up, you know, high at 78. And in the living room, I have my Dyson super duper, you know, bladeless fan. And I set it on one, and I set it on oscillate. And I, oh my goodness, it is just wonderful. It just circulates the air. You know, if the darn things weren't so expensive, I'd buy one for the bedroom as well and replace the ceiling fan in the bedroom, because this is just so nice and just so, yeah, I just love it. But anyway, that's so, you know, and by now I wanted to have an electric lawnmower, but I haven't had one yet because nobody's got the good ones in. And I think I'm going to wind up buying the e-grow. I'm not going to see what else is out. I think I'm just going to buy the e-grow. And just go do it, buy the e-grow electric mower and go from there. But this time I pulled out the old reliable Murray push mower, started that puppy up. And, you know, when I got home today and mowed the yard, I tell you what, you know, it had grown, especially in the backyard. It had grown, and it was just, you know, man. And then of course, the next thing I did after that was I edged, because as I always say, a perfect lawn has a perfect edge, and I'm real picky about my edge. So I did that, and now we have reverse fall here in Florida compared to all of you people up north who have fall in the fall. We kind of have fall in the spring, and this is our spring. And what's happening is new buds, the oak trees are all budding out, and I've got 5 oak trees in my front yard. I wish I had none, but I have 5 of them in the front yard, and they're all budding out. And guess what's happening? Leaves are dropping as they bud out, the old leaves that were there, because our leaves don't fall off these oak trees until new leaves grow on and push them off. So now they're all falling down. And I'm mowing this. I'm hoping that the mower is going to grind it all. No, just it really didn't. So I get done and I look at the yard and I say, oh, man, now I need to rake the yard. And I have to do this every spring. I have to do it, you know, in the spring. I have to rake the yard probably 4 different times, because it just keeps, you know, the leaves, as new leaves bud out on the trees, more leaves fall. So I wind up doing this all of the time, and I don't have a place to take the leaves. So I have to bag them up and leave them out on the street so the city will haul them away. I don't have a good compost pile going on, and all leaves does not make good compost. So I said, okay, so I get done with everything and I'm looking, the leaves are everywhere. And of course, my next door neighbor, the 89 next door neighbor, his yard, which is mowed and looked nice, has, you know, has all been raked. He has no leaves in his front yard. And there's my front yard with a bunch of leaves. I said, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go rake front yard. Open, you know, I go into the garage and I'm looking for my rake. And I got a really nice, I got a stainless steel rake. Are you believing this? I have a stainless steel, expensive fan rake. It is nice for gobbling up the leaves. It is just perfect for gobbling up the leaves and just getting them up. Oh, it's just easy to do. I can get the whole front yard, including out by the street, everything raked up, usually in about 20 minutes with that. Whereas with the other one I had, you know, that was kind of plastic and wood, it just took longer, didn't do as good a job. But my stainless steel rake does a fabulous job. It was worth, I forget what I paid. I bought it like 4 or 5 years ago, and I think I paid like $60 for it. If I'd have been married 6 years ago and I would have brought that stainless steel rake home, and my wife would say, you paid $60 for a rake? Yeah, I paid $60 for the rake. But I wasn't married, so I just bought it. Man, I wanted it. I bought it. I had my rake. I'm looking all over my garage. I cannot find my rake anywhere. I'm going nuts. I go out in the backyard. I said, here, I've got a little secret area in my backyard that I never go to. It's on the side of the house. I said, is it there? I go over there. It's not there. I got another little secret area in the front side of the house. Is it there? Not there. I said, where is my rake? And I'm getting mad because my $60 stainless steel rake is missing. And those leaves are just sitting there, and I'm looking at Al's yard, and Al's yard looks beautiful, and my yard has those leaves on it. And I just wanted to get rid of them. I said, what am I going to do? It is then starting to get dark, and I realized that I'm not going to be able to take care of this. Right about that time, as I'm just totally dismayed, I've mowed my yard, I edged my yard, I took the blower, all electric, by the way. The blower is electric, the edger is all electric. I blow the yard. You know, it looked wonderful, except those leaves. Those leaves were making me mad. And it's getting dark. You know, the next solution I was going to do is I was going to take my blower and see if I could just, like, blow them all into a pile. But it just got dark, and, you know, I didn't want to. Right about that time, who drives up but ex-wife number two? My favorite ex-wife of the three. As a matter of fact, should I say that out loud? Yeah, I should. She's my favorite ex-wife. We are best friends. We live a mile apart from each other. And she's over here all the time. As a matter of fact, right here in my studio that I have here, Studio B, I have Studio A, which is on the other side of the house, where I broadcast for the last, you know, many years. Then I moved it over to here because this is roomier and nicer. The other studio is all small, and I just felt closed in. So Zach's old bedroom, I turned it into a studio. And she came over, and she has an eBay business that she runs out of my house because, you know, I have all these bedrooms that I don't use. So she said, I'm going to use that bedroom. And the other bedroom is my office. And so I said, sure. So she's got shelves all over this place, and her inventory is all over here. So I got my studio and a small table, and it's right here, and I can do the whole thing. Well, she buzzes over, and I'm lamenting to her. I'm saying, you know, man, I don't know what happened to my rake. My rake is gone, and it's a $60 rake. And it was a $60 rake 5 years ago when I bought it. It's probably a $70 rake now or even more. And she starts laughing at me. And I said, what? You know, I said, do you have a rake that I can borrow? She said, yes, I do. I said, really? I said, good. Can I come get it tomorrow? Because I cannot go another day with looking at these leaves. She goes, yeah, I got a real good rake. I said, what kind of rake do you have? She goes, I got a stainless steel rake. I said, you bought a stainless steel rake? She goes, no. I said, oh. She goes, I borrowed it from my ex-husband, meaning me. I said, oh, did you tell the ex-husband that you borrowed his rake? Because, by the way, I totally trust her. She has a key to my house. She just came in my house and, you know, went in the garage and got it. And, you know, she just borrowed it. I said, well, please bring it back tomorrow so I can rake the yard. I tell you, the things I go through. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek right here on your very favorite radio station. Okay, I got this very long email asking me about a pesticide that has been banned for homeowners' use, but is still being used in agriculture. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Hi, everybody. This is Ask the Garden Geek. I'm Michael Crows. You know who I am. I've been doing this for 33 years, you know, talking about plants and chemicals and my cats who are in the studio with me now. Both cats are in the studio. They follow me wherever I go. Wherever I go, they just follow me. I don't understand. You know, if I go out and sit and watch TV, one is on my lap and the other one's sitting next to me. When I go to bed at night, they both are, you know. And the older one is getting very irritating. He likes to lay next to my face when he didn't come there until I'm sound asleep, and then I'm breathing his fur. And no, go away. Anyway, long ago and far away, there was a product called Dursban. Some of you may remember it. They advertised widely. I used a lot of Dursban back in the day, lots of it. And then all of a sudden, it was taken off the market. Now, if you read the headlines, that you know, the people are very concerned about this product right now because it's still being used in agriculture. And they say, well, it's a banned product for homeowners. It should be a banned product for agriculture. Well, first of all, let me just clear up a few things because nothing is ever as it seems. And I kind of keep track of this stuff. I do. It was not banned for homeowner use. There was never an EPA banning of the product. It never happened. Dow Chemical, the company who manufactured Dursban, took it off the market. They just made the decision themselves to take it off the market. Now, I kind of know why they did that. And I don't know if I am at liberty, legally, to say why they did that. I'm not sure. But many years ago, just before they took it off the market, I must tread lightly here. There was testing done on a pesticide in Florida, and the pesticide was not named. But the testing that was done on the pesticide, by the way, was done by a part of the University of Florida. I believe there was a fund that when lawn care and pest control companies get fined, all that money goes into this fund, and then a committee of industry professionals and education professionals decides what that money should be used for. And in this case, they decided that money should be used to study chlorpyrifos. There, I said it. I don't know if I was supposed to, but I said it anyway. And, you know, it was, and the main part of the study was to see how long chlorpyrifos, which was the active ingredient, man, am I boring you to tears yet or what? Anyway, which was the, I'm boring myself. My cat just laid down. He must be bored. But anyway, it was to see how long the active ingredient of Dursban stayed airborne, both indoors and outdoors, after it was applied, using a variety of methods of applying it. And I will say that chlorpyrifos has been applied. People sprayed lawns with it for years. People sprayed shrubs with it for years. People sprayed trees with it for years. And agriculture sprayed all kinds of agriculture for years, and as a matter of fact, still does, done by both spray operations and aerial operations. So anyway, and by the way, it was a organophosphate insecticide. Or all of the organophosphates, or most of the organophosphates, are gone. We don't have them anymore. I think orthene is still available. That's an organophosphate, and I think there may be one or two others that are still floating around, but very limited use, and people, you know, the label on orthene has changed dramatically. So the chlorpyrifos that was used for agriculture was not called Dursban. It was called Lursban with an L instead of a D. And that they didn't take that off the market. But anyway, I do not, you know, know the results of that study. I do not have a copy of that study. I don't know if it has been publicly released. But here's what I do know, that after that study was completed, Dow just voluntarily took Durzban off the market. It just gone, goodbye, have a nice day, we'll see you later. Arrivederci, you know, goodbye. It was gone. But Durzban stayed in place. And, you know, people had been buying Durzban for years. I'd been buying Durzban for years. Yeah, and Durzban was widely used. It was used, like I say, I used it to kill chinch bugs with in grass. Oh, it worked wonderfully for that. And it was actually used as a termiticide for a while. It didn't work wonderfully as that. It was used as a cockroach spray in houses for years. It was used in a bait for years. There was a company that used to manufacture this product that was mixed with lacquer. They put Durzban in with lacquer. And pest control companies would come in your house and paint all your baseboards and paint inside your cabinet. It dried clear, but it was Durzban, and it would last for at least a year, and you didn't have ants and you didn't have roaches. It stunk to high heaven. I have no idea why anybody would do this, but it was a very popular product, and a lot of people did it. So with that being said, when it left the market suddenly, it left the market. So what that tells me is that when chlorophyllos, the active ingredient, must, and I don't know that it does because I have not seen the study, but I'm guessing, and this is just a guess, I'm guessing that chlorophyllos stayed active in the air, both outside and inside, for a long period of time, to where the toxicology of the whole thing may have been something that Dow didn't want to think about. They didn't want it in residential neighborhoods. They didn't want it. I'm guessing. I'm not saying that this was what they did, but I'm just guessing that. They didn't want it in grocery stores. But they left it in agriculture because agriculture is separate. Agriculture, you know, where I live in the city, the nearest farm is a long way away. And that's generally the case. And when agriculture is away from residential houses, for the most part, I mean, you know, there's a few here and a few there, but for the most part, and it has remained in agriculture, even I believe to this day. And all of these websites, alternative news and, you know, natural news, they're all just clamoring about this product still being available for agriculture. And I was asked, what do I think about that? Here's what I think about that. If they're going to take this away from agriculture, they need a replacement that is as effective as this. Or they need to show a study, a peer-reviewed study. And what is a peer-reviewed study? A peer review study is where all of the people in agriculture, the biggies, the PhDs in agriculture, somebody does a study and they make it available, they publish that study, and other peers can now review it and determine if the study was done correctly. And that is the standard of the industry, a peer-reviewed study. So I would like to see a peer-reviewed study saying that chlorophyllos used in agriculture is dangerous to anyone. So far, I have not seen that. And I look for things like that. I truly look for things like that. Roundup is another example of this. People saying, oh, there's all these studies that Roundup does this, this, and this. You know, and I have not seen a peer-reviewed study that says any of that is true. I have seen peer-reviewed studies, lots of them, saying that that's not true. I've seen lots of peer-reviewed studies about Durzban that say that that is not true. Okay, so I haven't seen any peer-reviewed studies saying the opposite way. So that's kind of why, you know, same thing goes for aspartame, okay, in Diet Coke. You go on Facebook, you'll find all these articles on these weird websites saying how dangerous it is. Not one peer-reviewed study, not one peer-reviewed study stating how dangerous it is. Lots of peer-reviewed studies, and I'm talking lots of peer-reviewed studies, saying how it is not dangerous. Same goes for Corfilios. So I don't know. I haven't seen the study that was done in Florida several years ago about airborne. I would like to see that study, but it's not available to the public. But how are you? Are you having a great day? I'm having a very good day because I live in West Central Florida where we've had 80 degree plus weather for most of February. And I look right now at what the temperature is up north. And my son in New York is dealing with all kinds of bad weather. My daughter out in Kansas is dealing with all kinds of bad weather. My friends in Michigan are dealing with all kinds of bad weather. And I feel for them. I do. I don't know if I could do that. I just don't know if, you know, at my age, if I could go back. And I have to tell you, I made a trip to Michigan several years ago to go back to where I lived. And my house that I grew up in was there. And we got to tour it. My brother and I got to tour it and met the people that lived in the house. And gosh, it was so nice. They had really made the house wonderful. And it was so nice. And I don't know, about a year later, they contacted us via email. They wanted to know if I had pictures of the house, if we had pictures of the house back then. And I did. So I emailed it to them. I emailed them several pictures of, you know, my brother and I in the house and everything. And I took a picture. We had a picture taken of my brother and I standing in the front yard of the house after they remodeled it. And they sent us an email and they said, guess what? We have to move to Kalamazoo, which was, you know, a distance away. The job is taking us there. And we want you to know that your house is for sale. And the house was for sale at a very low price. And they said, for good karma, we have taken the picture of the two of you and we've hung it on the wall in the house. The house is now vacant. We have moved out, but we hung that picture of you two on the wall of the house. And I called up my brother. I said, oh, man, I want to go buy that house. He goes, I want to go buy that house. And we both wanted to go buy that house. One of us go move there. You have no idea. I almost did it. Because I was in a position at that time, I could have sold everything here in Florida. I could have moved there and pretty much retired and, you know, continued to do radio. And I even checked to make sure that we could put an ISDN line there, which is a technical thing to do radio. You have to have a special super-duper phone line called an ISDN line at the time. Now you don't need that, but back then you needed that. And I called. And I found out from the phone company up there that, yes, it was available. It could be put in. And I was so tempted to go. But my children, who, you know, lived here, did not want me to go. But I was so tempted to move up north. But now I look at all of the cold temperatures that are up there, and I don't know if I can handle it. I don't. But you know what people up north do when spring hits? And by the way, it's like 25 days to spring. Believe it or not, it's something like 25, 26 days to spring. When spring hits up north, and I know this in Michigan, and I know this in Indiana, and I know this in Ohio, and in all of this, in New York, I'm going to tell you, the gardening people come out from the caves of winter and go to work. My late mother, when we lived in that very house, was out there planting annuals. As soon as spring came, she was out there, you know, and she had bulbs going. She had all kinds of things happening. The people who owned that house just before we left, you should have seen how that was landscaped. And, you know, and over the winter, it was all frozen back and gone. But boy, she told, you know, the woman that lived there told me, oh, I just wait for spring to do this. And people up there garden, people up north, everywhere garden so much more than, believe it or not, we folks down here in the Deep South, because we have to garden year-round. And so we do it, and we love it, and we enjoy it. But people who live in that weather, they only have a certain amount of time. I was on a station in Alaska for a number of years. The station, believe it or not, went Spanish. But I was on a station in Alaska, and they're gardening. You know, when they can garden, their little calendar is very short. It's about, believe it or not, a month and a half, you know, sometimes 2 months. And a lot of them would build heat houses and heat platforms to do all of their seeding and stuff like that. They would stretch it out as long as they could, and they just couldn't. Man, I used to get calls from Alaska every weekend during the growing season and in the winter when people would prepare. So, you know, I feel blessed that I can garden for a longer period of time here in West Central Florida. But I also, you know, remember fondly in when I lived in Michigan, in that very house that I'm sure somebody has bought by now because it's been many years. And I'm half tempted to go up to Michigan this summer just to see what the house looks like now, just because the people who had it before had just done such wonderful things with it. But I'm half tempted to go back now and look. And I just might. We'll have to see. But, you know, I have fond memories of the shorter span of time. And I've got listeners in Maryland and Ohio and Michigan and Illinois and Missouri that just love the gardening season, just absolutely love the gardening season, which, by the way, like I said, all of you people who are my daughter who is in Kansas with, you know, snow everywhere. She sent me pictures today of my grandkids just playing in the snow. 20, and she can't wait. She cannot wait because she's a gardener too. And she just cannot wait to get back out there. Absolutely can. And they live out in the country now. She has big plans for a vegetable garden this year. And she's going for it in a big way. I think they bought a rototiller. And they got a lot of rocks up there, so they're going to have fun with that. But, you know, they're all waiting, and I know you're waiting, but it's 25, 28 days away. Not long. It'll be here soon. Before you know it, it will be here soon. All right. I gave away my hats. This week, I got, oh, by the way, I have like a, you know, I should talk about this another time. But I got an interesting gardening book that you might like. And if you would like it, the first person to email me at michael.kroos@gmail.com. That's michael.kroos@gmail.com. And ask me for it. You can have this book. I have, by the way, in the other studio, that's the other studio, I have about 40 books, or probably more, that are being donated to Salvation Army this week. They're all too big for me to ship out to people. But this is a brand new book that's not even going to be released to the general public until April. I'll send it to you if you're the first one to ask. You're listening to Ask the Gardener.